Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we're celebrating the highest of the apostles, St. Peter and Paul. And as you heard yesterday's service and the matins of the canons, we had two canons. One canon was St. Peter, and the other one was for St. Apostle Paul. And St. Peter had so much love, he had so much love for the Lord, that when the Lord said to the disciples, I'm going to have to go through suffering, and I would have to die, then the apostle, having so much love for him, says, oh no, don't let it happen to you, my Lord. And of course, and the Lord had reprimanded him, but quite unusual way for him, because he said, go away, you Satan, you're thinking of the worldly things and not of the God's things. And the apostle showed the great humility. And this is where we have to take our example from. The Lord called him in the sense that like he was a Satan. And can you imagine this? Anybody calling us Satan or calling us other names and derogative names, and how we get rebel against and say, how dare you call me this and that? And we can't take it. But the apostle took it all in stride, and he continued to follow him with a great love. And he has shown us thus the humility. He showed us how we should behave when somebody approaches us with some derogative names. You know, many times you're being called, well, maybe not you, but I'm being called stupid and old, and all kinds of derogative names have been, people are calling me. And I'm sure you probably experienced some of those things too. And of course, they're all that being said in anger. Well, the Lord didn't say it in anger to the apostle Peter. He said it in a strictness to let him show to us that the great humility that he really had, and it was an excellent example for us to follow. So don't ever get distressed or offended when somebody calls you either stupid or older or broken down junk or whatever they may call you, and crazy or anything else, because whenever they call us, usually it's not as bad as calling us Satan. You know, our Lord himself was called so many times by the Pharisees, and it was saying that he was using the power of Satan to cast out demons. Can you imagine that? And he was called a wine bibbler and glutton and all kinds of things, and he took it, everything, without ever getting mad at anybody, without retaliating. And finally, as you know, they cried for him to crucify him, and they crucified him. Here's the lessons of humility that we have to learn. And St. Peter, of course, showed us another great lesson. Is what happened is that when the Lord has given, just before he is suffering, he gave the apostles the Holy Communion and so on. And the apostles, the Lord said that one of you is going to betray me. Of course, he knew it was Judas the Iscariot. And everybody said, well, not me. And nobody would ever betray him. And St. Peter said, I would even die for you, but I would not betray you. But the Lord said to him that tonight, before the cock is going to crow, you're going to deny me thrice. And of course, it's another lesson, great lesson for us to know, never to think so highly for ourselves, to be sure of our actions, that we can do things. We can do nothing without the help of our Lord, my beloved. We really can't. We can't live without the Lord. Every cell of our body is sustained by the Lord. He gave us the life. It wasn't just the seed that mixed with the our father's seed with the mother's in the mother's womb and so on. So the Lord has been developing the child and everything and sustains our life. Without the Lord there is no life. Once in a while you have to come to really realize it. It's so wonderful to realize that, to know that there is no life for not any butterfly, not any birdie, not any little insect, and nobody can have life without the Lord. The Lord is the giver of life. He gives the life to everybody. And here's a great lesson from Saint Peter that we have to, so never become cocky and then thinking that, oh, you can do everything, or be sure of yourself that you can be do this and you can do that. This is all pride is talking. And we don't want to go that direction. As you know, St. Peter, he showed us the lesson. He betrayed the Lord thrice. He said he didn't know them. But then, when the Lord looked at him, and when the crow, when the rooster had made a noise, he remembered what the Lord said, and he went and he cried, and he cried actually for the rest of his life, because it was noticed that his eyes were very always red because of the crying, because every time he would hear the rooster cry and out, he would cry from his heart out that he betrayed the Lord. He loved him so much, and he was so sorry that what he did, and that being so sorry of what he had done, and showing that great humility, and that caused the Lord to give him extra powers of the Holy Spirit, and that when he was even passing by, he could heal even just a shadow from him would pass by some sick people, but they would be healed. It's the kind of power that St. Peter had. And of course, he resurrected the dead, and he done all the things what the Lord said that the apostles would be able to do, and then he was doing that. But it took the great humility to be able to receive that extra powers, that extra strength from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles when they recognized that they are nothing without the Lord, because the Lord said so very simple, without me you can do nothing. And they really believed that, and they knew that they needed the Lord, and that without the Lord they are nothing. And because they really believed that, the Lord has sent them the Holy Spirit to guide them and to give them the strength, and that they be able to do all the things which the Lord said that they could do. But then we go into the life of Saint Paul. What he went through, first of all, he was a persecutor of the Christians. He actually did. He had went into the houses. He took out families and had them arrested and put them to jail, persecuting all the Christians in Jerusalem. And that wasn't enough. Then he even got himself an order to go to Damascus to do the same thing, to persecute the Christians. But why was he doing it? Because he really believed that he was right, and that the Christians, that they fell for a trap of a wrongdoing, of a heresy. And the Lord, seeing his sincerity, he had met him on the road to Damascus, and he had blinded him with such a light that he fell off his horse, and he had gotten blinded, and he heard the voice of the Lord, "Why you sorrow? Why are you persecuting me?" Because his name was Saul before. And the Lord had touched his heart at that moment. And the future Saint Paul at that time, Saul, so he said to him, "Who are you, my Lord?" And then he said, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting." And he says, "It is very difficult for you to go against the grain." And Saint Future apostle had accepted what the Lord had said and repented, truly repented. He was led to Damascus, and there he went, and finally he got converted and he was baptized. And when he was baptized, his eyesight was restored again to him. And then he went into seclusion for a whole 3 years. He was battling in the prayers and asking God to forgive him for all the things which he had done against the Christians. And finally he came out to preach. And what kind of a preacher he was! As you know, he has written 14 writings that are recorded and that we use in the epistle, and he has written even more so, but 14 was used. It's much more than any of all the other apostles put together he has written. And what kind of lessons we hear, what kind of lessons about the, and for instance, about the love. What does he say to us? He says, even if you can give away all your riches, even if you have such a faith that you can move mountains and you can do all kinds of miracles and all those things you can do, but and you can even give your body to be burned and so on, deprive yourself of everything and so on, but if you have no love, it's worthless. It's just like a coin, like a copper coin. It's worthless. But because the real thing that we need is the love. And here it explains what love is. Love never fails. It never thinks evil. Love, love cannot think evil. Just think of that. If you love somebody, you can't think evil of somebody. If you love the Lord, and of course the first love has to come to the Lord, then you will love all his creations. And when you will approach a human being, to you, a human being is a beautiful person, and more beautiful than you, because he was created by God. He was created by God, and you don't get proud, and you don't say to yourself, "Well, I'm better than he is." No, that's a no-no. We can never say that. We take an example from St. Paul, who says that the Lord came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And he really believed it. He really believed that he was the chief sinner. And you and I, we have to start to believe that too, that we are the greatest sinners. No one is worse than we are. That's the humility. That's the humility that will give us the grace of God and the power that we can then conquer the enemy, who is always trying to feed our mind with, "Oh, we're so good, we're so great, we could do anything, and we can do that." And no, we don't need anybody to teach us anything. We know everything. I'm better than anybody else. Well, this is all pride, and we control our destiny, and so no one is going to tell us what to do and how to behave and so on. Oh, this is nothing but pride. Of course, at that moment, you and I cannot think that we are worse sinners than anybody else. Even if you see somebody doing a great sin, a greater sin that you have done, or that you may have not have ever done, and he did that great sin, or she did that great sin, and you still can't say that he or she is worse than you are, because you don't know how many temptations the person went through. He may have had a legion, or even several legions of demons enticing him and causing him to fall into the sin. Well, you may have one little demon trying to tempt you in something, and you're falling for it. So you never know. You can never see, and you never see whether the person, even though he may have denied Christ and denied the salvation, now that he will not repent in a minute from now. You can don't know, and you don't know whether you're going to be able to survive. My beloved, let's learn that those lessons from our great saints, the apostles Peter and Paul. Let's learn the humility, let's learn the true love for the Lord, and that they both gave their life for the Lord. One, the Saint Peter, was crucified, and when they were crucifying him, he says, "Oh, I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord was crucified. Crucify me upside down." And they crucified him upside down, and he suffered so much because he had also nails being put into his feet and in his hands. But Saint Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, they have chopped his head off. But what he went through, what kind of beatings he went through, and stoning, and all you have to do is read the epistles, and even what he says, that he was even in the sea for one whole day and one night. He was inside in the deep of the sea. He went through crashes of the boats, and he went all kinds of deprivation. He was beaten and again stoned, and all kinds of things went in, and jailed, and all those things he had endured, and he did it all knowing that he is a sinner, and he was grateful to God that God allows him to go through all those things, because he remembers the great suffering that the Lord had went and done for him, and the final had the crucifixion. Now here is the example of love that we should have from the apostles that we're celebrating today. Tomorrow we're going to have all the apostles are being celebrated. And we have to try to copy them in at least in a little way to find the love, a spark of love for the Lord. And if we have truly the spark of love for the Lord, then we are not going to have more love for ourselves, because if we have more love for ourselves, we don't love God enough. The Lord said that you cannot love anybody more than you love yourself, more than you love God. I'm sorry, you cannot love anybody more than you love God. It means you can't love your body, you can't love anything, anybody around you, and so on. The first love has to come to the Lord. Then you will obey His commandments. Then you, because you love Him, you will do what He wants you to do, because you want to please Him. Because when we truly love somebody, we want to please them. And this is what love is calling for, because we're not our love cannot be selfish. We cannot think of ourselves. We have to think of others, those who we love. And let's work on that. Let's work on it to live not for ourselves anymore, but to live for our Lord, and to fulfill His commandments, and to do the will of His Father, and to try to please everyone here that we love, but not to please and being people pleasers, just to get some from them a good relationship. No, we do that for the sake of love for the Lord, because we love the Lord. And remember what the Lord says: whatever you do to the smallest, you do it to me. So if you're being kind to your loved one, whether it's a member of the family or whether it's a neighbor, and you're doing it to the Lord, He accepts that you're doing it to Him, doing some kindness. And on the other hand, if you are doing something bad to your close ones or anybody else, you're doing that bad to the Lord. He will say, take that like that. So we have to become serious about our life. Our life here is nothing but a fleeting moment. The real life comes after this life. And we absolutely want to be united with our Lord, whom we are supposed to love. And some of us do start to love the Lord, and I hope that it will grow more and more, and we'll take the examples more from our apostles, and how they have loved the Lord, and even though they fell, but they have repented. And that's what we have to learn, to repent, so that while being repenting and having the spark of love turning into the fire of love, that we're willing to go through anything just for the sake of to be with our Lord, and then we will truly be His disciples, and we will be with Him in the kingdom of heaven forever. Amen.